This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from the Horse Radio Network and host of the Horses in the Morning show.
And I'm Wayne Williams, founder, host, Speaking of Horses TV. And we want to thank you all for joining us on this joint broadcast, Speaking of Horses TV, and our live stream here in Ocala. And Horses in the Morning, partnering up here with Glenn, coming to you from Gator Horse Trailers in Ocala, Florida.
This episode is sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine and Hoosier Horse Trailers. Well, this is so cool. I don't think we've ever done streaming live on video because I have this face for radio. So, and thank you so much, Wayne, for making the flight down here all the way from Wisconsin and joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's one of those things we've talked about, doing the live stream and the radio jointly. I mean, it's not a new concept, but it's new for us.
It's new for us, yes.
And it's fun to do.
First time our listeners get to see my mug on the air. So
it distracts them from having to look at me.
Well, Wayne, you do come from Wisconsin, so you've made quite a trip down here. But before we get into a little bit about us, for your audience and ours, tell us a little bit about, for those listening that want to watch, how do they do that?
Just go to speakingofhorses.com. Go to the website. When you open up the home page, right on the home page, you will find a watch here to view with a small logo of Speaking of Horses, and you click on that.
No, it is on the home page. That's right, it's right on the home page.
Right on the home page. And just there it is.
Yep, you go to Speaking of Horses, and their video will
pop up. The video will be right there in the corner, and you can watch. So for those of you that listen to Glenn and Horses in the Morning every week, all week long, go on and see what this guy looks like in person, right?
I'm not sure I want. Now, you will also have an archive version of this show out later in the week, right?
Yeah, coming in about a week, you'll be able to go back to the archives and be able to watch this show. We are also taping it, so we're going to have it on the website basically indefinitely so people can, if you don't watch now, if you just listen, if you're in a place where you can't watch, you'll be able to go back. Let's say by next Monday, you'll be able to go back and watch the show. Just find it in the special events archives page, and it'll say the Horses in the Morning joint broadcast, and go for it.
I know a lot of our listeners have said in the past, why don't you have your cameras on? It's because we're in our pajamas normally when we're doing this show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jamie's out there in the West Coast. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. She's just gotten out of bed. And so there's a reason there'll never be cameras on us while we're doing this show. So for all you listeners who want that, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
I have spent many a morning in front of that computer until 10 o'clock before I decide to get dressed. Doesn't mean you're not working.
That's okay? Right.
But you see, that's the beauty of radio.
That's right. That's right. And Jamie said I'd have to double her pay if she had to get up and actually get dressed in the morning at 6 o'clock. So that's not happening. We also want to thank Gator for allowing us to broadcast from their showroom here. And they're going to join us here in a couple of minutes. But we have a ton of great guests planned for today. We have Sean Daugherty coming on. He's the executive director of the Florida Horse Park. He'll be stopping
right
in this morning.
Right.
And then we also have a friend of yours that you've met before, Dennis Thompson of Gypsy Gold.
I think he just walked in the door back
there.
Oh,
there he is. So Dennis Thompson of Gypsy Gold is going to talk to us about gypsies, one of my favorite breeds.
Right.
And then also Debbie Garcia, who our listeners are going to be familiar with because she's been on the show a couple of times. She runs Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses. And they just got back with their therapy horses from the tornadoes in Oklahoma and actually got caught in the second tornado that came through. They were out there for when the big one came through, and she said she has some stories to tell our listeners this morning. So she's going to tell us that a little later.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some stories.
And she's supposed to bring one of the minis along. So you know how they say, don't put animals in the show? Well, we're going to blow it right there.
I know, because they will steal the show.
That's right. Well, nobody's going to be looking at us when there's a cute mini sitting right across there. So I guarantee you that. Well, for our listeners, and tell us a little bit about yourself, Wayne, and Speaking of Horses.
Well, Speaking of Horses was a dream of mine for many years, and we're I've been adding it up. It's 8 years, I believe, now in production. We started out just doing some radio, and then because I'm at so many horse expos around the country announcing and the like, I started taking along camera along, and I would get the video of things and interview so many great people with their horses or trainers, clinicians, and the like. It's just taken off, and I just enjoy it because I enjoy the horse people, and I've had horses most of my life. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a great horseman, but I am a horse owner. That's what I always describe it as.
And your shows are broadcast on your website and across the internet, but also on some local cable markets.
We have select cable markets around the country that broadcast the recorded shows. We obviously can't do anything live there, but we have a huge audience that watches on demand. And speaking of horses, you can find the archive shows there that are the new shows. As well as a couple of streaming internet channels, and then the local cable, which is select in certain areas.
Very good. Well, for your audience, Horses in the Morning is part of the Horse Radio Network. We have 8 different shows that we do here on the Horse Radio Network. We're probably the largest online radio network now for the horse world. We have listeners in over 40 countries. And Horses in the Morning show we do live every morning from 9 to 10:30. And it's definitely a morning show. It's got the humor and the comedy and the music, and we do it like a morning show. We have a lot of different guests on. I think we figured out that we had almost, 600-800 guests last year on the morning show.
Wow, that's a lot.
A lot of different guests. Jennifer is our producer, and she is also the guest wrangler. She books all our guests and then makes sure they show up. Tries to calm them down. They learn they're going live to 30,000 people, they get a little nervous. So we try and help them get a little more comfortable with that thought. We were nervous when we first did it because we had always done recorded shows. All of our other shows are recorded. They're podcasts that we put out. We have an eventing podcast. We also do a dressage show, a Western show. We do a driving show for the driving world. We have our co-host for the driving show actually lives in Sarasota.
Okay.
And she's a four-in-hand driver, one of the very few female four-in-hand drivers in the world. And then our hosts for the other shows are all professionals in the horse world in one form or another. So we have a lot of fun with it. It's a good time. We always say entertainment first, education second. I know you go that way, too, because
that's
you were in radio before you...
I was in radio, before... Yeah, I was in what you would call real... Well, this
you were
is
DJ,
real radio,
of all things.
I know.
Spinning records.
Yeah, I was spinning 45s way
now
back.
Now, that's aging you.
Yep, I know.
You were spinning 45s.
I know. With reel-to-reel tape players and a Gates Studio at Mixer Board. Now, if anybody remembers that, you're in my zip code, right?
All right, just to remind everybody before we get to our first guest, we are Horses in the Morning, along with Speaking of Horses TV show. I am Glenda Geek here with Wayne Williams, and our first guest is going to be sitting down here shortly. Her name is Krista, and she is the one that runs the show over here at Gator Trailers in Ocala. And good morning, Krista.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great.
You need to be about 2 inches from the mic. There you go.
Okay. Got my daughter with me, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Good to have you guys here.
Hey, we have to congratulate Lauren. Stand up, Lauren. She has a great big new belt buckle on there that she just won a couple weeks ago. And in what show? What kind of show?
Region 10 Quarter Horse Show.
Ah, and what class?
That is showmanship she was in.
Cool.
Very good.
Yeah, we were sponsoring up there. They have English, Western, halter classes, a whole variety. But we sponsor quarter horse circuit, cowboy mounted shooting, our eventers. We try to get out, and my daughter also competes, so it's a bonus for me.
Great.
Very good.
Great.
Well, congratulations. Good job. Now, tell us about Gator, how long you've been around. Tell us about, because there's a lot of trailer sales right here. You have a lot of competition right here in Ocala.
I do, but I feel like we have an advantage being more personalized. We've been doing this 6 years in this area. Specialized all over the country. Actually, I ship Canada throughout the country. We've had some exported down to Puerto Rico. Just figuring that there's a niche there for people that the horses all have different needs. And the way this economy is, people are budget conscious, and we're just trying to fit that need. So we have specialty trailers that other dealers don't always have. By being at the shows, we get to see the needs that everybody has, making sure that the trailer fits the horse and the customer. So I think that really gives us an advantage, being able to to go there, be on site. I could see their used trailers. I get to see how the horses, you know, how they are needed. You know, we've got small horses that are, you know, cutting and roping, and we got barrel event coming up this week. We're going to be at the barrel championship. So by being out and seeing the variety, we know what trailers to stock.
The beauty of that is by doing horses, having horses and being there, you have a real insight into the needs. And yeah. And that's what you were saying, and that's it. That really, you know what they're after, right?
I get excited. I really do. I've had horses like 37 years, and I have everything from a mini, my daughter's quarter horses. We've done dressage. We've done expos. It's a lot of fun for me. I still have the passion when I get out there. And I'm with the people. That's where I'm usually the happiest. So a lot of times they'll joke that I'm the invisible girl because I'm not in the dealership every single day, but I'm out at the shows. I'm on the internet. I'm available, you know, at all hours because I really want it to be.
Oh, but everybody loves it when the boss isn't here anyway. So, I mean,
No. Yeah.
Isn't that a way at every place where you work?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It is, but I've got
a great
girl.
Is she gone yet? Is she left yet?
Yeah, these guys are we're old school. We guys have been in the industry and manufacturing.
Do they ever tell you there's a show in Southern Florida when there isn't one? Just so you go down there.
Now I feed them too. They do like when I come in, so it's a good match.
Come up a little bit. Closer.
Come up a little closer.
Yep, there we go.
Stay in on the mic. There you go.
Okay. There you go. Everybody wants to hear you. Now you said specialty trailers. What's different about them? What would give me some examples of what makes a trailer? You know what you can do with a trailer that's a little different than the other.
I have side ramp configurations on slants and straight loads, both with living quarters. I do 3+1s. You know, a lot of people see 2+1s. So I have different floor plans that really fit. You know, the different breeds. I mean, the quarter horse circuit now. You get your hunter under saddle horses, and they're taller. And the Venters.
Yeah, they're over 15 hands now.
They're 17-1. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're big. So you have to have a trailer that really makes them comfortable and keeps them safe. And then the slant load really works. A lot of people bring in their toys now. We've got four-wheelers, scooters, golf carts, dog kennels, my God, bicycles. Every time I'm out with my daughter, I mean, we're living it too. So we're there. We're at the shows. And we see how much has to go in that trailer, the people that are coming down for the winter. So if they're here coming from Canada and they've got to bring down everything for the winter, they need space. So we really come up with some neat floor plans that fit, and we're doing stock living quarters too. My ex's Sooner line has a fabulous stock living quarters. It has a little mid-tack with a side ramp, so you can just wheel up your hay inside. You don't have to be on the roof all the time. And then you got your little living quarters. It's not too big, it's not too small, it's just right. And then again, if I don't have what's in stock, we build. So
and I think that kind of makes you unique in that way because there's many dealers who build trailers.
They try to make it more production. Yeah. And you know what? And not everything is a cookie cutter. So when it comes down to it, if I've got that family that needs that slide out on that stock LQ, just give me, you know, a few extra weeks and we'll build it. And that's what's fun is it's getting the right trailer, the right fit, and that gives them the best price. It's really not, it's more like a factory direct, not like a custom pricing. So you know, it works out for both of us, and it keeps, you know, in this economy, everything going, because now they're not running on such a high margin that they're upside down or they don't feel overwhelmed. We give good pricing, good product. It's
a
lot of fun.
Yeah. So tell us, I'm going to give you the pointed question now.
Okay.
Give us a couple of tips for people for this summer, things to check real quick on their own personal horse trailers. Just to make the summer safer. Give us three or four key things they need to be checking that you wouldn't normally think to check on your trailer.
Well, the basics, and they should be thinking, we all, you know, get tired because it's hot out there and you're getting sweaty, but you got to check those tires. Tire pressure, tire condition, even if, you know, you haven't been running the trailer, they can get checked. So the biggest thing is you don't want to have blowouts and making sure that you have a backup plan if this is going to happen. You know, having like US Rider is a nice roadside assistance. Making sure you're
having a lug wrench, which we've had that before, where the tire blows out. We went, where's that lug wrench? Oh, it's in the other trailer.
What to do with three horses when you have to change that tire?
Yeah. Well, they have the nice little drive-on aids, so you have trailer aid.
That's one of the things that's a key.
It is nice to have that. Like I said, a backup service. Because,
yeah, because we tried to jack them up, and that's not much fun
work,
at all.
And you don't want to unload on a highway. Yeah. So you better, you know, make sure your vehicle's in the right condition. You know, you don't want the truck breaking down. It's great, but, you know, you can't pull the trailer if the truck's not working. So keeping your vehicle serviced, keeping your tires
checked. The bearings, too, is something we all forget about. Yep. It should be done, what, once a year should be looked at?
And we do that service, $50. We grease the bearings, check the brakes. We'll go through your trailer. Then we can do a whole overhaul if you want us doing, you know, the roof, making sure everything is sealed, taken care of.
Wait a minute. All of that's only $50? Well, we went to the wrong place last time. I know we're coming here next time.
We do. We have gained most of the service in the area. I mean, like I said, we're a little bit old school, but we want everybody to make sure they get in and take care of it. Because realistically, I mean, even as a dealer, I bring it and have my guys take care of it because it's just too much sometimes with, you know, my schedule, my daughter, her showing, our horses, my place, and the business. So it's easier just to come through the shop, make an appointment, have everything checked, and know that you're safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference. Breakaways. Your breakaway battery has to be replaced on occasion. You know, that's if anything comes off of your truck, you got to make sure that trailer's going to stop. So, you know, making sure the floor is good. Pull those mats. Wash under that floor. See what you got. You can have a steel frame. You can have aluminum, but they all need to be taken care of. They all need to be cleaned. So.
Or you still could have wood, and if you have that, you really got to be looking at it.
And you know what, though? That's not always a negative. It's easy to maintain. But you just, again, you want to make sure those boards
right.
are in good condition.
Hey, there's a bunch of people in the room here. How many have pulled their mats and looked at their floors in the last 2 years? One. Okay.
One.
We're going to use your trailer from now on, Dennis.
We're borrowing your trailer. But it's true. We just neglect it because you get busy and you forget and you go, oh, it'll be fine, and until it's not fine.
Right. Yeah. I keep shavings in my trailer all the time. That way it's easier just to scoop out when I'm done. Mm-hmm. But I forget myself. To sometimes sweep it out, lift those mats, pull it out. So
even with the shavings, you soak up most of the moisture from urine, but there's still a little residue gets through. You can't help it.
You betcha.
And in rain, and you know, just all kinds of stuff. You know, we've done them all. We've made all the stupid.
I have a question.
Okay, Jennifer.
Producer Jen has a question. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
I hit the right button. Good. We're in Florida now. Glenn and I are relatively new to Florida. Are there different maintenance needs here in the deep south where you have gobs of sand and heat and humidity versus maybe in Phoenix, Arizona? Because the weather and the lack of salt or things like that, are there different things that we should be doing or checking more often here versus perhaps somewhere else in the country?
I would say probably it's probably the same because it's just different temperatures. Like, again, we're not running in salt. But we do have acidic rain down here. We do have the heat, but even if you were in the north, if you're in the north and you know, you're running, it's still going to be hot and cold. I mean, I used to be in Minnesota and it could be 100 degrees up there. So whether you're running in Arizona, Texas, basically it's the same issues. It's just different elements, but all the same functions need to be checked. Again, you know, brakes, bearings, brake controls, all of that.
And down here, dry rot in the tires is a big thing,
it's
too.
It's the sun, but I mean, it's hot in Arizona, it's hot in Texas.
It's true.
I mean, you look at, you know, Oklahoma, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. Everybody has, the way this country has been and with, you know, the weather, it's crazy. You got hot and cold no matter where you are. So basically all the same maintenance, regardless of where you're, you know, what territory you're in, needs to be taken care of.
Very good. Well, give everybody your website.
It's GatorHorseTrailers.com, www.GatorHorseTrailers.com, and email me direct at GatorTrailers@AOL.com. If you need a quote or used, consignments, we do consignments. We just have a good time here.
Or if you need a championship belt buckle that's left over.
Yeah, she just throws it around when she's on the counter over there.
She's like, no,
did you see that look? Did you, those of you watching, did you see that look? Like, what about my belt buckle?
She probably has a dozen of them hanging on the wall at home.
Yeah. Have you got a trophy
ribbons.
Wall with your ribbons and buckles?
Those buckles are hard to come by.
You
cherish those, don't you?
I know a place you can buy those, Glenn.
It's not the same, though. Her and her boy, you know. They worked hard for that.
Well, sit over here a second. Let's talk to your daughter a little bit about her horse. We got to hear about her horse.
Got to hear about your horse,
right. Right up to the mic. So tell us about your horse. Who got you the belt buckle?
My horse, Bogey. He's
get a little closer to the mic.
There you go.
My horse, Bogey, he's 16, and we've had him for like 3 years. His name is One Straight Zippo.
One Straight Zippo?
Zippo Pine Bar son or grandson or great-grandson or whatever, right? Yeah.
And he's tiny, but he can move out for the undersaddle or he can slow down for the Western Pleasure. And he just nails showmanship, and he just did really good in that class.
So would he be a good all-around prospect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you also said you ride a little English, too.
Yeah, like with my other horse, he's 16.3, and we just got him. But we
What is he?
He's a quarter horse.
Quarter horse?
16.3?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ooh.
It's a big quarter horse.
He's thick.
Yeah. I bet you have to have a stool there. To get on, don't you, right?
Yeah.
Do you swing up from the ground, or do you use a stool?
I need a stool.
I was going to say. I know I wouldn't need a stool. I just want...
And you do what with him, hunters?
I do hunter under saddle, and we're teaching him showmanship. And he's going to be another all-arounder, probably.
Very good. Well, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. So you travel all over the East Coast?
Mostly.
Yeah, cool. Quarter Horse Congress coming up?
We might do it.
Yeah? That's a lot of fun.
You and about 14,000 others,
yeah.
Right?
Trailer schedule, too.
Talk about trailers. You go to Quarter Horse Congress, that's like the million-dollar trailer row right
there. That's right.
Quarter Horse Congress. It's an amazing sight.
Everybody that's even thought about building a horse trailer has got something at the Congress.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Mike, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, good luck.
Well, we're going to take a break for our title sponsor today is Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're going to come right back with our next guest here on the show, and that is Sean here?
Yep.
Okay, very good. So we're going to have Sean in just... Okay, that's right.
Oh, it's Sean. I said Dennis. I'm sorry, Sean.
All right, we're going to be back with Sean in about a minute here.
All right. For those of you...
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Pace, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares. And you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, Wayne Williams and I are back with you here live from Ocala, Florida, on location at Gator Trailer Sales. And we have a guest that I'm very excited to talk to because I've never met you before. You're going to need about 2 inches from the mic. His name is Sean Daugherty, and he is Executive Director of the Florida Horse Park. Welcome, Sean.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, we live in here in Ocala. Wayne's from up north, and I know there's a lot of people that have not been to Ocala and are not familiar with the horse park. So can you give them a overview of what the horse park is?
Well, I'll tell you, it's exciting times right now. It's exciting times right now. Governor Scott has gave us some money to start operating. Our board's deciding whether they're going to put a covered arena or some new barns and stalls and stuff. But It's a 500-acre piece. We have all kinds of disciplines, from cross-country, three-day eventings to...
Great cross-country course.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful cross-country course.
And
it's fun to watch cross-country, not to interrupt you, but I get so excited because we love going over there. It's fun to watch cross-country from there because you can see a ton of the jumps. A lot of cross-country courses you go to, you see one or two, and that's it. You can't see anything else there. You can see five or six at the same time.
Right, and also, you know, if you get there early enough, the people that put it on will drive you out to certain events so you can actually get out there on the course and actually watch it. And we have a lot of Olympians that show up, and a great dressage shows. We have all disciplines, and also we have other events besides horse events and stuff. We've had Signature Brand out there for their employee party that hosted 900 people, and we are even going to have a wedding. We have a Civil War reenactment coming up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I love those.
Those are fun to watch.
Well, I love those.
Yeah.
We're excited. I've never seen it, but it sounds like a neat deal. You know, some of them still think the South
won.
Hey,
anytime you put guns, horses, and cannons together, it's great.
Yeah. No doubt. It makes for a good Western rodeo, don't it?
That's right.
Depending on the horse you're on, yes.
Absolutely. But, we're excited. A lot of things are going on at the horse park right now. And
Well, in Ocala, you know, for those that aren't really familiar with eventing, Ocala is a really big area for the eventers to house over the winter. So they're here from usually right after Christmas to up until the end of March. And they have several shows there at the horse park, and it's a perfect starting grounds for them to get going for the season because the weather's usually moderate. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, and it's perfect time for them to really get started.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And during that whole time, every weekend is full from the whole winter months. I mean, and it's exciting between the dressage and the eventers that jump and cross country and stuff like that. But we're also even talking to, it's in the works with the symphony and having
A concert?
A dressage with the symphony playing. So it's kind of like a Dance
Those
with the Stars.
Are tons of fun to watch. Yeah. I have seen, there was a group out of Tennessee years ago called the Sons of Tennessee,
yeah,
who would play on horseback, and they would actually do it with a live orchestra from time to time. If you coordinate that with a live orchestra, that is... I got to come see that.
You know,
I
we
love
could be
that,
like, yeah, the judges, like Dancing with the Stars. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how well it'd work out, but anyway.
Now, the facilities out there, one of the nice things, too, Wayne, about the Florida Horse Park is it's adjoining the Florida Greenway, which is the linear park that goes all the way across Florida. And the Florida Greenway is loaded with horse trails and bike trails and hiking trails and even carriage trails. Yep. And they have all these trailheads that you can go to, and really nice, fancy trailheads, yep, with bathrooms and parking and camping. And it's just your location is unbelievable that way.
Oh, absolutely. And we have one of the biggest driving shows a year, too.
We love that. That's fun. You have great obstacles.
And then Cactus Jack, you know, they're located right at the horse park. So when people want to go trail ride, they just call up Cactus Jacks and they kind of lease from us. And they go out right on the greenways and all their horses are super. They have a great time. They have anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hour rides. So you just schedule that, and you can go over the land bridge. And
I got to tell you,
everywhere.
The Florida Greenway, too, if you've never ridden in, once you get into the Florida Greenway and ride on those trails, it is sort of prehistoric almost, isn't it?
Yes.
With the way the trees, yeah, grow and the moss and the, yeah, Florida vegetation, it seems like you're in a prehistoric world.
Yeah, it's like a canopy,
yeah,
of trees and stuff like that. And, of course,
it's,
you know, them
different.
Them nice banana spiders that get a hold of you.
Yeah,
that's always fun.
Big yellow ones about this big for everybody watching.
I know what they are. They also hang in tomato plants.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they do.
I think they'd go good with those cannons.
And the other thing we have in Florida that you are starting this time of year is the sticky spider webs. They hang straight down from the trees, and when you walk into them, you cannot get them off. They're sticky. I don't know
That's
what
why
are.
You never lead the trail ride.
That's right.
That's right.
You always are the second or third horse in the line,
right,
because the first guy breaks the way in the
cobwebs.
You always
bring a whip, right, with you, too, because you're always doing this. You're not using it for the horse.
You're whipping them around. Yeah.
That's right.
No doubt. But, you know, and the horse park has turned a lot more friendly and exciting. We're looking to do outdoor concerts, dances, whatever, what have you. And hopefully after the board decides Thursday of what they're going to do with the money, I think that'll bring a lot more events and a lot more Western events. And
well, right now you have no indoor arena, so to speak.
Right.
It's all outdoor. And yeah, you have facilities and things, but it's all outdoor and there's camping and everything. But this was it a $2 million grant? What exactly was it from the state?
It was a $2 million grant with stipulations that it whatever we do, it builds a sales tax, at least $5 million worth of sales tax through the state over 5 years, which is a pretty good incentive to get busy and make sure that it's going to bring revenue to the state. Also, with that being said, I believe our board is leaning towards, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I believe they're leaning towards a covered arena. With that being said, you know, you can bring it to, you know, cutting, reining, roping, what have you. And it'll bring a lot more events to it, and with that comes more revenue to the state, and I think a lot more jobs to the
It would
community.
Seem to me that in Florida, especially with, you know, especially in the summer when, you know, it can be so hot, that a covered arena, at least get it somewhat controlled for shade and things, then you can do a lot more with it. You can have some of these evening events that you want to have, and you don't have to worry about not only the heat, but you can survive those afternoon rains and all that stuff.
Absolutely, know? Absolutely. And, you know, it being night, at night, at least it's a little bit cooler. Also, you know, there's so many people that drive by that intersection, and the horse park's just right off the interstate, mm-hmm, not even 2 miles. And I think horse people all around, I know that I've traveled all over, and this is a perfect location. Logistically, you couldn't ask for any better place than what the Florida Horse Park is right now. And I hope people get to sponsor it, and on flhorsepark.com, you can put a donation, and the horse park is a 501c3. So just to
Great.
Plug that in there a little bit.
We're speaking with Sean, who's the executive director of the Florida Horse Park. Now, do you think that, you know, obviously the Kentucky Horse Park has built facilities for the World Equestrian Games and everything. Do you think that has hurt you at all, that they can sort of go year round now in the winter? Or do you think that is it competition at all, or is it too far away?
No, I think both sides kind of play off of each other. You know, you don't do it at the same time, and everybody's pretty, you know, in the horse business, and I think you own the horse and stuff, and I've done a lot of rodeos and stuff. There's a lot of camaraderie, no matter what discipline of horses that you do. And I think all sides kind of play nice with each other and kind of piggyback off of each other. So I don't think it hurts us at all. I think, you know, their facilities is built out quite a bit compared to ours, you know. But
well, when you get $50 million to do that, you can...
And you do have the state helping you every year. Yeah.
Well, and when they had an accelerated program because the World Equestrian Games were coming, the state of Kentucky, Commonwealth of Kentucky, excuse me, actually, you know, sped up by about 10 years their building plan.
Right. Yep. And what a beautiful park. I mean, you know, it is a beautiful place. Yeah. And I think that this has the potential to be there one day.
You certainly have the land for it. You know, a lot of places don't have, because who gets 500 acres adjoining a state park? You know?
No. Yeah. And what a place, you know, and eventually you'll just be, even if you don't have a horse, you can just come camp, just enjoy the outdoors, and, you know, you're in a safe environment and your kids and all that.
See, and there's something you could really play to the horse snowbirds. Bring them down in the wintertime, come down like January, February, camp. Yep. You know, even if you're not showing horses, you can trail ride in the park. You can do those things. Yep. You know, I know we have looked at times about places we could go for a month or two, you know, with the horses, and that's a perfect.
What's to get out of Wisconsin shot. In the winter is what that is.
Yeah, I spent time in Wisconsin. It gets a little cold, a little nippy.
It can do that. Matter of fact, we should have the ice off the lake by next week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I got to go ice fishing one time and did a tip up. I didn't like it much.
Well, you know what the ice fishing is up there. It's just an excuse to sit in the shanty and have a little libation.
I didn't have a shanty at the time. And it was a little chilly. But, you know, also, I don't know, the county, you know, Marion County has stepped up quite a bit and started supporting really a bunch with the horse park. They paid for the turning lanes to come into the horse park. So with those big trailers and stuff, you won't have as much trouble getting in and out of there. And they're really supportive, and the community's supportive and the state's supportive. So I'm Florida and Marion County ought to be excited about the horse park right now, because there's good things coming. Yeah. And there's been a lot of people that's put a lot of work into it and a lot of time and effort, and it's a good thing.
Well, one of our favorite things to go see at the horse park, because we're right here in Ocala, and I have to mention this or I'm going to get a lot of crap, because I host the driving radio show.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's to come out and watch the driving events, because, again, with the marathon phase of the driving events, where they do the obstacles, you can see several of them in one place, and there's very few places that do that. We have Black Prong over here, which is very nice for driving events as well. But love coming to Florida Horse Park, and you have great obstacles. It's just so much fun.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, our events coordinator, I believe she used to do driving, Ellen Edinger, and she works really hard, and I think her and Chester Weber and that put on a big event for driving and stuff, which is phenomenal.
Well, it was fun.
If you have Chester and those people involved, you have the top of the crop right there. Absolutely.
Yes. And you know, Equiventures too, you know, they're huge with 3-day eventing and stuff like that. And I think, matter of fact, John Hollings, I think, is trying to repeat himself someplace right now in Canada. And he's an Olympian. And then Peter Gray was an ex-Olympian. So they put on Equiventures, and they bring some top quality people to the park.
We get about half the eventers winter here and about half winter in the Carolinas. So it's about how it's been playing out. But we have noticed in recent years that more and more of them are wintering in Ocala, because they're not finding the Carolinas even warm enough in the winter, so they're moving down here. So we are seeing a lot more eventers, as well as, of course, we have HITS, which is the Hunter Jumper circuit. So,
absolutely. And that's a great show. It really is. And, you know, again, with the horse park, you know, if people, before they get to HITS to the show, if they want to come out and practice and stuff like that, we can sure piggyback off of HITS. That's not going to be no problem.
Now, there's plenty of places for pre-shows, warm-up shows. You could run a 4 or 5 day circuit that's a warm-up to a bigger show even. That's the way you dovetail everything together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I totally agree. And I, And it's great. I mean, there's so much horse stuff in Ocala and the different disciplines. I never realized because myself, I have an arena at my farm and we do a lot of roping and stuff. But, you know, kind of when you're in that little world, you don't look out. But my goodness, and impressed. If you're not impressed, even if you rodeoed and did all that and you watch a 3-day eventer jump over what I call a mini house and stay on the thing, you know, you're just not living.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you back up to whatever discipline has its own set of needs.
Absolutely.
And skills. And you have to appreciate everybody's skills in that discipline because they're all back to one thing. They're all using the horse.
Yep.
It all comes back to the horse.
You mentioned roping. Wayne, you do a lot of announcing at Western events, don't you?
A lot of horse expos. I was just at the Ranch Sorting National Championships last week in Fort Worth.
Oh, sweet.
Ranch sorting is really a coming thing.
Tell us what ranch sorting is for those that don't know.
Well, if you don't know, you have picture two round pins butted up beside each other and just take out the center panel so that you've got, looks like a figure eight, but you've just got the one like 8-foot opening. And you've got cattle like in team pinning, only you've got them numbered 0 to 9. You've got the calves in one end, two guys. Then when they give them a number, they got a minute and a half to sort them through in order. If you give you number 5, you got to get 5, and then 6, and then 7, and then 8, 9, and then back to 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and take them from one side to the other in order.
Yep.
You got to be in order. And they got a minute and a half. And it's quite exciting.
Is that harder than it sounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, what they have there is a place where a lot of the horses that the National Cutting Horse Association really loves ranch sorting because the top cutters, if they're just not quite or they get a little old for cutting, by the time they're 5, 6, 7 years old, they're done with them as a cutting horse. They're a great sorting horse.
Oh, absolutely.
It's another complete market because they don't have to work quite as hard in the sorting as they do in the cutting.
But yet it's the same action.
But it's the same action. Yeah. You're still working calves. Yeah. You're still working cattle. It's a lot of fun. And you'll see mom and dad their kids, you know, they got kids like 5, 6, 7 years old out there sorting. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's a family thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I've watched a lot of it. I've done some of it. It is a lot of fun.
Now, roping's becoming very popular around the country.
There's a lot of roping here, especially in Ocala. I mean, John Hudson, he's been roping for a long time. And there's been several high school kids that's won the national finals that live right here in Ocala. So, yeah, there's a lot of team roping and a lot of roping and stuff. So, again, like I said, Ocala, Marion County's got a lot of disciplines and all over the state of Florida.
So, Western-wise, you know, we've been talking a lot of English here, mm-hmm. riding.
Right.
But Western-wise, there's quite a bit here, too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And have you ever done any English shows?
I have. Through the horse expos where I've announced, jumping demonstrations, or I have announced and watched some of the clinicians who get into it. Nick Karasisis out of California does an awful lot with jumping. And I've watched him, but no, I do not necessarily announce.
So we're not going to see you announcing at Rolex anytime soon?
No.
No.
And you will not see me in breeches either.
Okay. That'd be a sight right there.
I'll tell you what. The one and only time somebody stuck me in them, you don't want to be there. Okay?
Right.
By the way, you're not going to see me in them either, so we're even there. That's not a thing horse husbands do. We avoid them like the plague. You're not in breeches either. I know that.
No, that ain't going to happen.
They will laugh you right out of the
yeah,
ring.
No, I don't think I have the body for breeches.
Well, that's sort of what I was hinting at. But
I just went there for you.
Yeah, thank you.
But I'd like to mention two people, too. Kevin Sheely with the CEP of Marion County.
What's CEP?
Sir, it's the Chamber of Commerce, economic.
Okay.
He's supported the park quite a bit and has done a lot of legwork, and also Loretta Schaefer with the VCP, and that's with the Tourist Development Council. Those two people have really stepped forward for the horse park, gave money and stuff for certain events and sponsored and stuff like that, so I just didn't want to miss them.
Well, you know what, too? We contacted the Chamber before we moved to Horse Radio Network down here because we were in Lexington. And we actually talked to them about the horse world down here, and we had them on the air. And I said, look, I don't want to have this conversation privately. I want to have it on the air. And they really did help convince us to move down here.
Yeah, well, so. I believe Kevin came from Kentucky, Lexington.
Did he?
So you might have talked to him up there. He just wanted you to follow him.
We're glad we did, too.
Yeah, there you go.
They had a nasty winter, and they get a hot. They actually hotter in the summer than we are down here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
That is a misconception that people have. We get 92 to 95, and there'll be 100.
Absolutely. You know, everywhere there's a misconception. I mean, I've been up in Minnesota and Wisconsin. It gets hot. It gets hot.
And this year it'll be July 6th.
Your mosquitoes are much bigger.
Yeah, we have some big mosquitoes.
My gosh.
Yeah.
And duck itch. Oh, you know about duck itch, don't you?
I don't know about duck itch.
Man, don't go in the water out in Wisconsin or Minnesota. That's all I got to say.
I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to Google that now.
There are a lot of varmints alive. That's all we'll say.
Okay. Yes.
And we won't say any more.
Everybody at home listening now is looking up duck itch to find out what that is.
Google's going, huh?
Sean, where can people find out more about the horse park?
Well, you can contact the horse park at flhorsepark.com. Also, we're online. Just look us up and come on.
And all your schedules on there, all the different
events. Every bit of the schedules, and we've worked on the webpage, and again, you can donate money to help the horse park. Plus, we have a license plate out there that when you purchase that license plate, it helps the horse park and things like that.
Around.
And we need all the help we can get.
We're going to have to come out and do a broadcast from the horse park at some
Absolutely.
Point.
It'd be fun. And come one, come all. We'd love to see you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you
thank
being
you.
Here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Sean, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, Wayne, tell us, just give a little plug for our trailer sponsor.
Who's Your Horse Trailers is our sponsor. They brought me down here, and we really appreciate it. They're made in northern Indiana, and they are a custom-built trailer. They're available here in Florida. Gator has got them available, and we're really happy to have Hoosier Horse Trailers on board. So we're just glad that they're a part of this thing and are helping to expand to the horse world. Period.
And you've had connections with them. You helped them out in the past, and
we have worked together in the past. So we really appreciate it. They're a good company. We thank Hoosier very, very much.
Very good. Well, our next guest is getting seated over here right now, and I believe you know him.
Mr. Dennis Thompson.
Hey.
How are you, Dennis?
Good.
I haven't seen you since the Equitana days, I think.
It's
been a while, yes.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
1998.
That's about right.
Yeah. Oh, that is? Yeah. You guys are old guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 As we would say, back before the turn of the century.
Now, Dennis is with Gypsy Gold, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of my favorite breeds here today, and that's Gypsies, right, Wayne?
Gypsies, yeah. I love Gypsy Banners, and of course, Dennis is the gentleman that brought the first one over to the United States years ago.
Brought the first 16.
First 16.
Didn't start with one.
No,
you brought a whole herd.
No.
You kind of started with one, didn't you?
Well, my late wife and I saw one horse in 1995, learned it belonged to a Gypsy, spent that day in a Gypsy camp. And through his invitation, spent 10 days at the oldest Gypsy horse fair in the world. And then they're out.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah,
stop
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
Let's go back to found him in a Gypsy camp. How did you end up in a Gypsy camp in Europe?
I was director of sales and marketing for Hamilton Products for 23 years. And I set distribution all over
and
the world.
And Gypsies were a big customer?
No,
oh,
not
okay.
at all. No, no.
My I was wondering.
No, my wife and I had several hundred animals at the time, all different kinds. And we were both... pretty obsessed with all kinds of animals, and we traveled all over the world, and so we would do research on different animals wherever we were geographically. In this particular trip, we were doing research on the largest horse in the world, the Shire, and we were in northern Wales, and we were discussing the pros and cons of owning a horse that we had fallen in love with in London, and we're on our way back, and all of a sudden, we just crossed the border from Wales into England, And Cindy said, "Did you see that little black and white horse?" And I didn't see him, so I turned around and went back for a second look and parked on the side of the road. And this horse came running to greet us, and that was history. We changed our attention from the Shire to this little guy, thinking he was a crossbred horse. And we went and introduced ourselves to the farmer, and he explained it was not his horse. He was only keeping it for a few days, and it belonged to a traveler. And I didn't ask what a traveler was, but...
didn't want to know.
Yeah, anyway, about 10 minutes into the conversation, he said he has a band of mares that look just like him that he keeps hidden. And, of course, I said they can't possibly look just like this horse, and he assured me they did. And so we said, can we meet this man? And a gentleman came over, and we had a small talk for a few minutes. He invited Cindy and me to his caravan. And we followed him to a gypsy camp and spent that day with him, and he took us out and showed us babies this stallion had produced, and he told us he had mares that were 40 miles from there that his brother didn't even know where they were. He didn't explain why, but anyway, towards the end of the day, he said he's a one-off. He said, look all you want, you won't find any better, and if you do, he's going to cost you a lot of money. He said, I'll tell you a place where you'll see hundreds of colored horses, but none as good as mine. He said, you go there. You call me after you go there, and you tell me if you found one as good as mine. And so that's how we became the first Americans to ever attend Appleby Horse Fair, over 330 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite a journey.
You know, the journey that that people don't realize is that all of those bloodlines of those gypsies, and you learned this very well, they never wrote those bloodlines down. They were all just word of mouth, and each family had their own bloodline by their name.
Well, the breed started through inspiration, like many breeds do. It was two stallions right after World War II, Sonny Mays and a coal horse. And they inspired the vision to create the perfect caravan horse. And I'm not sure you're aware, but the English Gypsy Caravan is the most highly decorated caravan in the world. So they wanted an art form to pull their art form, basically, is what it amounts to. I tell people, I give tours on my farm a couple days a week, and I talk to people about, we've all heard of PTS, post-traumatic syndrome. We haven't all heard of a post-traumatic success. And it's periods of time after traumatic periods in history where optimism reigns. So the industrial age, and you know, there's different moments in our history. Well, for the first time in history, gypsies could dream of having something special for themselves right after World War II. And these two stallions inspired this vision to create a horse that looks like a small shire, but with more feather, more color, and what a gypsy calls a sweeter head, or more refined head than a draft horse would have.
Where was it originally bred from? What breeds did it?
It's the Shire Clydesdale, Dale's Pony, and the original Friesian.
Okay.
The original Friesian helped develop the Shire, the Clydesdale, and the Dale's Pony. The original Friesian was going extinct, and so they saved the breed by crossing it with Andalusians. So the Friesian that most people know about today has smooth-legged genetics in it. So nothing but hairy-legged horses made the Gypsy Vanner horse. Hair is a recessive gene. It's called an additive or cumulative gene. So you must breed hair to hair to maintain or increase hair. So if you want the hairiest legged horse in the world, you have to use nothing but hairy legged horses. Yeah.
So that's where all those big flowing.
Yeah. Here's what you have to understand, though, that in 1995, 20% of the horses the gypsies raised were a breed, born from a vision to look a specific way. 80% were a commodity-based animal raised for the restaurant business in Belgium, Holland, and France. They're of unknown genetics and often smooth-legged genetics, usually Connemara or Irish draft. So those horses have a reduced amount of feather, usually a little longer back, maybe lighter bone, a little more common head, and so on. But they're still, and that's why I use the word vanner. Vanner in the English Chambers Dictionary means a horse suitable to pull a caravan. If I say gypsy horse, I could be wrong 80% of the time. Theoretically, if I say Vanner, I'm right. I'm talking about a vision, like American Quarter Horse, same thing.
You're talking about that vision of that horse because, you know, you can hear them called gypsy horses, gypsy Romanies, tinkers. There's all kinds
Irish
of
cob,
terms.
Gypsy horse, gypsy cob, you know. That is because there's a thing called an internet.
Hello, everybody on the internet.
This is the first breed in history to establish itself in the age of the internet. So there's an ability. You can go home tonight and make up your own story and make up a new name, and you can publish it. And that's, you know, that's unprecedented in history. So the first name in the world to identify a selectively bred horse raised by gypsies is Gypsy Vanner Horse. The only name in the world founded on an in-depth study of gypsies and their horses is Gypsy Vanner Horse. So,
and then you brought 16 of them over here, and that's really what started them here in the United States.
Yes. Two out of three of the best stallions we ever found and 14 mares. 11 of the mares are, and they're all DNA verified unless the stallions are dead, but 11 of the mares are daughters of the best three stallions we ever found. Two are granddaughters of one of the greatest sires in the history of breed called the Lob-Eared Horse, and another is the daughter of another great sire called the Lion King. So we stood next to all their mothers and fathers and know that they're capable of producing a centerpiece of the breed. Yeah,
I know. I marveled the first time I met you at Equitana, and you came in there with Was it Gypsy King, that first stallion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, Kushtibach, actually.
Kushtibach.
He's the first stallion in North America. Got here Easter Sunday, 1997.
Okay.
The Gypsy King got here Easter Sunday, 1998.
Okay.
And both were at Equitana in 1998. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, that was a new...
Yeah.
It was all, you know, something I had not run into before, and there they were. And
something interesting about that is I didn't own a computer before... The breed was just before the breed was introduced. I went out and bought what the guy who set it up for me said. You bought a Learjet and you don't even know how to drive. So I didn't even know how to turn it on, and so I had a website created by an outside source, and then we introduced the breed at Equitana, and on the internet at gypsyvanderhorst.com, and 30,000 people were on my website and emailed me within 5 days. Yeah, and I didn't know how to turn the computer on. So if any of those people are watching today, my apologies.
Yeah, if you didn't...
Still not answering emails.
Right? Just hang tight. It's been 15 years, yeah, but you will get a response.
Yeah. He'll get there.
It's coming.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
So tell us what you do with your horses now, and how many do you have now?
I have approximately 30 Gypsy Vanner horses. I have 5 mules... and a donkey. I use mules. I have an embryo transfer program on my farm that I call Mule Moms. I actually use mules to be the recipient mothers of my Gypsy Vanner Horse babies. Not all of them, but a few. That's never been done before. Mules can't have babies. But it stood to reason that they had all the parts. And if you would give them one, they would take it. And they did.
And
I had 15 mules. Wonderful. Mules, because they're hybrids, of course, they have hybrid vigor. And one of the dimensions of that hybrid vigor is a heightened desire to nurture. So you can't put mules out with mares and babies.
Not the mules I've met.
Well, they haven't wanted to nurture you.
No, apparently not.
Yeah,
you know, I was going to make a comment about that.
No, you don't have to, Wayne. It's all right.
Yeah, okay.
They're all thinking it.
Yeah.
If you act like a baby, maybe they will.
Mules are good teachers, though, too.
Oh, they're wonderful. Wonderful. Heightened desire for self-preservation. So they've been using the mules over 100 years in the Grand Canyon, and no one's gotten hurt. And the guy that heads the mules up in the canyon says if your mule stops on the trail, point his head towards the canyon because he's not going off. So, you know, they're smart animals.
They really do, and I know all you horse lovers don't like to hear this, but they do outthink a horse.
Oh, sure.
They will not go. Was trail riding years ago with a gentleman in... on a mule in the Black Hills.
Uh-huh.
And that little old mule of his, he called Sadie, was going across the creek.
Yeah.
And she just like stopped. Yep. And he said, oh, she'll be all right. She couldn't see where she was putting her foot down.
Yeah.
And she would not step until she was sure it was safe.
Right.
Same thing. Horse will blunder through, stumble, you know.
Right.
But that's why they use them in the Grand Canyon and other places. They will not go. We call them being stubborn because they won't go. But what they're really doing is saying, I'm not sure of this, so I'm not going until I know.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
A donkey's the same way. And, of course, they inherit that from the donkey, I think. But
I knew a guy that used to take a donkey, tie it to about a 6-month-old colt.
Mm-hmm.
Tie them together on about a 6-foot lead.
Yeah.
And that donkey would teach that colt to lead and respect of a lead rope because that colt would want to run to water, and that donkey says, we're not going for a drink until I'm ready.
Sure, sure.
And basically, you know, that's how it was. And pretty soon the horse was really broke to lead, and the donkey did it.
I don't think it's common, but that still happens today. Texas horse ranchers and so on use donkeys to neck their... You know, they'll put a collar around their neck and teach their babies to lead.
So
now you do something that's different than one of the problems we always had when we lived in Lexington, Kentucky, is you got all these big, beautiful horse farms and you can't see them.
Right.
You can't go in the people who come to Lexington, a lot of non-horse people are disappointed because they can drive around and look at all this pretty countryside, but they can't interact with a horse.
That's correct.
And so what you do, and I see you on Groupon too pop up.
Right.
What you do, you offer an opportunity for horse and non-horse people alike to really get up and close with a horse that they would never have the opportunity to anywhere in the world.
Right, right.
So tell us about that. And I appreciate you doing that because it's good for the industry.
I think visitors to our farm are surprised that it's more dimensional.
Not to mention it's beautiful farm.
Oh, I mean, sure, yeah. Sure, sure. But it's a two-hour tour, and the first part is a combination of cultural education and equine education as it relates to, obviously, specifically the Gypsy Vanner horse, but even beyond that, and where certain breeds come from, where cold-blooded horses come from, and all this type of thing. And then the second part, we go out and get personal with the horses, and they get to meet some of the first and most famous Gypsy Vanner horses in North America. And the little kids, oftentimes, we sit them on the Gypsy King, who's a Briar model, and get their picture, and, of course, they're delighted with that. So, yeah, it's been real successful.
Yeah, it's nice when you got the Briar model part going.
Sure, sure,
too,
sure. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
You've been to Briar Fest too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2001.
Kids love those
yeah.
Gypsies.
Yeah.
That's about the first year. I announced Briar Fest every year.
Oh, do you?
I think that's about the first year I was there was you were there.
Yeah.
You know, you just would not believe what's at Briar Fest because you only think of the model horses until you get there. It's quite the production.
I told my wife, I said, we need to go out and get sunglasses. I said, I'm feeling kind of important here.
But the other thing, too, Briar Fest, they put on a good show.
Oh,
I mean, they
it's
really
wonderful.
Do.
Wonderful.
They really do put on a good show.
Yeah.
Now, how can people find you? And if they come to Ocala, how can they get... Oh, but before we get to that, I have a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you drive any of those gypsies? And do you have a gypsy wagon?
I have a gypsy caravan and cart collection that I actually just sold.
So. It's been on my bucket list. I want to sit on a gypsy wagon. I want to drive a gypsy on a gypsy wagon. It's on my bucket list.
Now
I have to go to England to do that.
I'll get another one.
Just for you, Glenn.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
We had eight of the horses trained for Equitana, and of course they pulled at the main event, but I don't on a regular basis. I had all those toys and never used them. I never learned to drive. I'd like to ride, but and don't get to do that as often as I used to. But anyway.
Oh, we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm just going to make one comment because the old saying is so true. Gypsies basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, measured their wealth in two fashions. One, by the ornate descriptive paintings and decoration and things on their wagons, caravan wagons or bardos or whatever.
Yeah.
And the other was by the beauty of their horses.
Sure.
So it not only glittered in the sunlight, but it neighed in the dark.
There you go. Gypsy gold.
Yeah.
You know, a fascinating thing. The most precious thing to a gypsy man is his horse, and to a woman, her china. They collect Roald Dahlin, Royal Crown Derby. Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, expensive china. It represents status and cash flow. Like,
and those bumpy wagons, they carry that china?
Yeah, they do. They do. Jeez. And they have china cabinets in those wagons. And they have a rack over the bed. And very precious to the woman. So, and one thing real quick.
Yeah.
The only place in the world that the name gypsy is an umbrella term, like the word American, European, Asian, or Canadian, is Great Britain. So there's more to understand about this word gypsy.
And they call them travelers over there a lot.
Well, that's the confusing part, is you can generalize and say travelers, but usually it's the Irish and Scottish travelers is one element of people called that live under this umbrella term gypsy. There's a people called Didikai. There's a people called New Age travelers. There's people called River People. There's a people called Carnies. And then, of course, the originals are called Ram, and they're from India 1,000 years ago. The name Gypsy is a distortion of the word Egypt.
Oh.
They thought they came from Egypt for 500 years. So it's a fascinating culture.
This has been great.
Yeah.
It's gypsygold.com.
Correct.
And that you can set up the tours and everything right there?
Yeah, you can buy tickets, discounted tickets, as a matter of fact, on gypsygold.com. I'm not sure how periodically we run a deal with Groupon, but on a daily basis, you can get on gypsygold.com. Just go to tours, and we'll fix you up.
I would love to come out some morning and do the Horses in the Morning Show live from
That'd
your
be great.
Farm. You got internet out there?
I do.
Oh, good. Okay.
Do you know how to use it?
Yeah.
Yeah. After 17 years, I can turn it on.
You got it figured out now. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. I would love
All
that.
Right. It's a pleasure. Right.
Sounds good.
Right. Thank you. Good to see you again, Dennis. Yeah.
Here. Take care, Dennis.
Take that with you as well. Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a break for a song here while we get set up for our next guest. And if you are not watching the video feed, this is the point where you want to go to speakingofhorses.com. On the homepage, the first page you come to is the video feed. You're going to want to watch the video feed for the next guest because we have something special coming in. We actually have a therapy mini going to be on the air with
Absolutely.
Us. So, and they're
Absolutely.
Here waiting to come on.
We are going to have a horse on the air on Horses in the Morning.
Well, that's right.
And
that's
on Speaking of Horses.
That's
How's
right.
that?
Yeah. We're finally going to have a horse.
So those of you on the video feed, just stay with us because we're going to do the radio commercials. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself. And that 50 pounds of leather put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins. And we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time. And she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get right, sit deep in the saddle. Faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me. It's as clear as a bell as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. I've carried all this time. I'll pass it on to my daughter. She loads up her car, heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly. And I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. And ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. Sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Don't you ever ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Cowboy.
And that was Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Well, we are back here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we are also doing a joint live show with Speaking of Horses. I am Glenn McGee, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with the founder of Speaking of Horses, Wayne Williams.
Well, thank you, Glenn. First of all, I want to say give a big shout-out to Tempe, Templeton Thompson. Love her stuff. Love Tempe and Sam. They do a great job.
Yes,
I got to get
do.
That shout-out.
Yeah, well, we play her all the time because she's one of our favorites, and we have a very special guest. We've had him on the air here on Horses in the Morning before, and we're live with him for the first time. And if you're not watching the video feed, go to speakingofhorses.com right now and say hi to Magic, because Magic is right here ready to be interviewed. Aren't you, Magic?
And I am going to go do a little camera work right now so you can see Magic up close.
Okay, good. So we'll hopefully get a close-up with Magic. We are here with George, who's the Executive Director of Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses. Good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. So glad you could join us here today. I know you've had a rough couple of weeks here. You guys have traveled to so many places over the last couple months, and of course, we've had you on the air. Our regular listeners know that you do therapy horses for all kinds of children, mostly therapy, mm-hmm. and you've done many different things, but your real adventures here started a couple of months ago in Connecticut, didn't they?
That's right. Yeah, we were asked to go to Newtown, Connecticut, and Sandy Hook and work with the families there that experienced the tragedy. So we were there in December and January, and then we told them we would come back again before the school year ended. So we were there in April, and we met with a lot of children on children's hospitals on the way up. We went to St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. We also went to Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, and then the Yale New Haven Children's Hospital in Connecticut while we were on that trip in Newtown. So that was about a 3,500-mile trip that we took, and then we came home and we're just overwhelmed with requests to go to Oklahoma City. So we had not...
And this was after the first tornado, let's clarify.
That's
we had
right.
the first tornado that came through and did all that damage and more.
That's right.
And then you got the call, and that's when I talked to Debbie, and Debbie said, we're bugging out. And then tell us about that trip.
That's right. Well, we were responding to the May 20th tornado, and we had received so many calls from parents and some of the hospitals asking if we could come out and work with the victims and the families and some of the first responders. So we did take that trip, and that Friday, the 31st, we were working with some children that did come out of the rubble of the two elementary schools, Briarwood and Tower Plaza. So we met with them, and we were watching the news, hearing that a system was coming into Oklahoma City. So we were watching that, and this system got worse and worse and was supposed to go north of Oklahoma City and all of a sudden took a hard turn and went south right where we were. We were south of Oklahoma City because we were working with Moore and that group there, so we wanted to stay a little bit south. And this tornado and the whole system, there were five tornadoes that touched down. And it was heading right towards us.
All right. So tell us first where the horses were at the time that happened.
Yeah. Well, we had, like I said, we had just finished the program. So fortunately, we still had the horses trailered with us. And we decided to, you know, check up on the news and see what was going on in case we needed to be mobile. So we were watching televised forecasts and the meteorology reports. When all of this was going on, they said, you need to get underground immediately. This is a huge system, unpredictable. We've never seen anything like this. So Debbie and I looked at each other and said, for our safety and the safety of the horses.
First they said, holy crap.
That may have been uttered, yes.
So, Batman, yeah.
I mean, there was no place to, you know, where our horses could have been safe. And so we decided to evacuate. And I think if we had left 5 minutes later, we would have been stuck on the interstate.
Because that was the problem in that one.
That's right. There are two major interstates that come through Oklahoma City. There's I-40 and I-35, which runs north and south. So we were south. We decided to get on I-35 and evacuate south. We got on, and it was a slow-moving parking lot. When we were there, it was still moving, and fortunately, we got out. People right behind us, it locked up, and they actually closed down the two interstates with flooding and winds that were exceeding 200 miles per hour. Just unbelievable. So fortunately, we did get out of that. The hotel where we were staying, the windows were blown out, power was off. The gas station right next to the hotel was destroyed. Where we had parked our trailer, and fortunately decided to leave that area, trees fell down, and that area was destroyed. So we made the right decision at the
wow.
right time.
Debbie, I think, told me that the people in your hotel were like in the hallways with mattresses over them and stuff.
That's right. That was the safety plan. We didn't feel real comfortable with.
Yeah, that's a great safety plan.
Yeah, so we had heard that mattresses were coming out and people were getting under the mattresses in the hallway, standing, you know, in bathrooms or laying down in bathrooms, and we just couldn't put our horses through that. So that's when we made the decision to leave. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do all the visits that we would have liked to have done. You know, we were going to go visit Oklahoma City Hospital, work with some of the first responders, but we got so many requests and thank yous that we just made the trip. You know, coming from North Florida meant a lot to the people there in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that's a drive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the miniatures, especially as a therapy horse, as a companion horse, they're amazing at what they do.
They are.
They really are.
And we have a lot of followers on Facebook. One of the parents who, his child was at Briarwood Elementary School, and he rushed to the school to evacuate his child. Unfortunately, the tornado hit, and he was able to watch the tornado just and its destruction come over the school, and he was just in shock watching his school be demolished and not knowing whether or not his little six-year-old girl was alive. He met with another policeman who had a child in the school. They were going through the rubble pulling out children, and fortunately all the children at Briarwood survived. They were pulled out of the rubble, just unbelievable. But this gentleman, his story was so compelling to us that we really had to go and work with the children and the hospital.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
How
it
do
just
you?
Is.
You're getting choked up. Okay,
yeah.
So this is my question, and it leads into my next question. How do you guys do this with the kids that you see and the cancer kids and everything that you do? How do you guys cope with it emotionally?
Well, we feel like it's a privilege to work with these kids. Some of these kids have never seen a horse before, and unfortunately, some of them may never see a horse or even an animal come through. So we get to see them smile. We get to see
you
them
get the happy
light
moments.
Up. We do.
Yeah.
We do. And the
yeah.
staff, they just go crazy because it means a lot to everybody. So it's a real special time, and actually it is. It's an honor to be there, to do something for these families and for these children. We try to take pictures. If they allow pictures for the family, we'll take photographs. So they'll have a memorable time. Some of these families go through such challenges, and they don't have positive moments. They don't have, you know, happy times. So we're able to do that for them.
Or is there a difference in the kids? And I don't know how to word this, and I don't want to get too deep, but I'm curious. Is there a difference in the kids when you're going into the hospital for a cancer ward, and then you go to Sandy Hook, and then you go to the tornado survivors? Is there a difference in the kids in their mental state? Do you see the difference with the different types of tragedies?
Well,
Or are they all the same?
I think they're all the same. They're kids that are in the middle of a certain amount of distress, and I think kids that are dealing with cancer, for that family, that's a Newtown tragedy, that's a Sandy Hook tragedy, or Oklahoma City tragedy. I mean, that's what that family is going through. That's what that child is dealing with. So we feel like there's a real similarity, I think, with the challenges that these kids are facing. We do notice that the girls just seem to go crazy. They love these little horses. Oftentimes the boys, they get excited, but not the same as the little girls. They just light up, and they're cowgirls all of a sudden. Everything, their trials, their tribulations are forgotten, and they're having a happy time.
Every little girl's fantasy is still to own a pony.
That's right.
You know, and it's amazing. It's probably 80% little girls to 20% boys that are really into the horses, period.
That's right.
I even told my sons when they were high school, I said, get into horses. Go out to the horse shows. Why? It's all girls.
Yeah, I regret that to this day.
And they're looking for guys that like horses, and they just aren't out there. They just aren't out there, right? But little girls and horses, there is, Templeton Thompson has a song.
Yeah, Girls and Horses.
Girls and Horses,
I tell you, these horses will melt anybody's heart, though. They, you know, Magic, as you can see, and if you're watching.
Yeah, tell us about Magic if you're watching on the video.
Yeah, she's got blue eyes, and she is just a very.
Black as black could be.
And if you'll notice, Magic is turned around so you can't see the eye.
Yeah, that's right. You know, let's see if she'll show
her
better side.
Yeah, show your better side, Magic.
Magic has beautiful blue eyes. She's got a white face, a white blaze.
I'm not turning around.
She's,
yeah.
She's got those watch eyes.
I need a day off.
That would be, she would be sort of in the paint family, right? With those eyes, I believe.
Yeah. How tall is Magic?
What,
30? 27?
I'm getting my input here. She's 27 inches tall.
So people, that's just a little over 2 feet.
Yeah. And she's 6 years old. She has actually been named by Time Magazine as one of history's 10 most heroic animals of all time.
Is that right?
That's right. She's the only living animal that's on that list, along with Alexander the Great's war horse.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The dog that took
We're in with celebrity.
I know.
Wow.
No horsing around with this group.
She was also noted by AARP as America's most heroic pet in 2010. So she's distinguished. She has quite a few credentials.
Wow. How do the seniors take to the...
They love Magic. I think it takes them back to a happy time. You know, many people, especially here in Florida, they grew up with animals. They grew up with horses. We have seniors that sometimes come up with pictures. They'll bring out their pictures. And the exciting thing is that they get out of bed. They groom themselves. They want to be around these horses. It gets them motivated. Oftentimes, they become lethargic, and they don't want to come out and socialize. So these horses really do instill a childlike quality in the seniors. We've met with a lot of jockeys, people who rode horses up north at the racetracks and who've retired down here in Florida. Just some amazing stories and what people have done with horses in their earlier days.
If somebody wants to have a mini as a pet, what would you tell them? What are the good things and the bad things? There's things that they need to know. They are a horse.
They are a horse. And some people ask if we keep them in our house, and we really don't. We have a farm.
That's the difference between horse people and non-horse people. Our horses do stay outside.
That's right. And they eat the same thing. They are horses, and they're the same in every capacity, every way. They're just smaller. They eat less. They still have to have vet visits and things like that. They like to go out and play with their
Now, you
friends.
File their hooves with a little nail file that you use for your fingers?
A little bit bigger than that. But they do need to be filed. We don't put shoes. That's a question a lot of people ask, if we shoe our horses, and we don't. We just file them.
Do you use rubber shoes at all when you go in the hospital?
No, no. We have found that with training, it takes about 2 years to train these horses.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
They get used to walking on different surfaces, walking over the threshold of a door. You'd be amazed. A parking lot is for a horse is just something scary. The lines, it's black. They're used to walking on grass and things like that. So they have to feel comfortable with the handler. The situations that we put them in they're safe, that we're going to take care of them, that we're not going to bring them into harm's way. So they're very trusting, and oftentimes you'll see Magic. She's looking at me, making sure everything's good.
Is this good, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's no different than any other horse,
that's
because,
right.
You know, the rider has to bond with the horse, mm-hmm. and the horse has to trust that the rider is not going to put it in a dangerous situation. That's how you can go down the trail, do the parade, do those things. And it's the same here.
That's right.
The horse gives you a glance. If you're, and of course they pick up on that, perception factor. Mm-hmm. If you're even thinking you're afraid, they pick up on that. But if you're calm, they're going right with you.
Yeah, and Magic does. She watches my cues, and she sees me introducing her to people, children, seniors, and so that makes her feel more comfortable. She knows that this is a good person. This person's all right. And the other thing is Magic is very intuitive. She seems to be attracted and drawn to children that are responding to her, and also seniors that are going through a difficult time. She seems to pick out the right person for her to interact with, and it becomes a memorable time.
They say that a lot of therapy dogs, the really good ones, are that way too. They can pinpoint if there's 10 kids, they'll go to the sickest one.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah. It's true. We've noticed that, especially with Magic. She just seems to be really dialed in to people. And you may have heard the story in Ocala when we visited a senior home. A woman was off. She was apart from the group, and she was playing solitaire, just very isolated. And Magic walked up to her and stuck her nose, under her arm and just kind of nuzzled her. And she sat up and she looked at the horse and she said, "It's a horse." And, that wasn't very significant to us. And she was interacting with Magic and saying, "It's a beautiful horse." And she was talking more and more. We realized that that was the first time she had spoken in over 3 years.
Wow.
No one in that facility had ever heard her speak. And so we walked around and visited with some other residents there at the facility, came back, and she had moved her wheelchair up to the aisle so she could spend some more time with Magic. She started talking more. She actually started interacting with the staff. The staff was saying, you know, we love you very much. They called her sister, and she said, well, I love you too. And they just started crying because they had never heard her speak as long as she had been there at that facility. That's the power that Magic has. She's just a beautiful
creature.
What
an appropriate name for that horse, too.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, when you go to the hospitals and the places like that, the word magic is appropriate, yeah. Very much so.
Now, I'm going to ask the question that all the listeners are thinking and that as a horse husband I'm obligated to ask is Magic potty trained, and how do you deal with that situation?
Yeah, she is potty trained.
And how do you do that? Because we'd all like to teach our horses to just poop outside and not in the stall. So,
Well, it does take a lot of training. I think it's cues. You know, we are sensitive to Magic. Magic's also sensitive to her environment. When she's inside, she knows she's working. It's a different surface. It's not grass. It's not shavings. It's not the place to go to the bathroom. So she's been conditioned to understand that, you know, this is a different environment, and she needs to contain herself.
So she's litter box trained, basically.
For the most part, yeah. So she does very well. She does very well.
Keeping them calm has got to be a part of that, because most of the time that is a nervous reaction in many cases.
That's right. Yeah, being in the trailer, just being nervous, if not knowing what's going on. Magic, when we were up in the last trip we took to Connecticut, she actually rode an elevator up to the 7th floor to the critical care unit. These are some kids that couldn't leave their room, so Magic was able to make the trip. And that's the power of these mini horses. They're able to go to people who are bedridden, hospital-bound. They can't get out. So Magic was able to ride an elevator, which is something interesting. You get in an elevator, and everyone's looking at the numbers on the top, and it's sort of the elevator etiquette. You don't talk to each other.
Yeah, you don't look at each other. Right.
But all of a sudden, it's the horse in the room. So that was hilarious. And then Magic just walks out, and there are doctors with their robes and the administrators with their suits, and all of a sudden, you see this horse walk out, making the rounds to each of the rooms. So she... She's quite a character.
Nobody taking pictures there, was there?
There was a slew. It was like paparazzi. The doctors, nurses, even the security, they were watching our trailer and making sure we were okay getting in and out. They had their phones out, their cameras.
I got to tell you, Wayne, the way we met the group is we met Gentle Carousel was through Facebook. You had a boy that was posting pictures all over the place of the horses all dressed up. I forget his name, but he would post everywhere, and that is how you really took off on Facebook, was all the cute pictures of the horses all dressed up. And that's how we met you guys, was through those pictures. I said, we got to have them on because they're so cute. Yep, Facebook fan, and you have a lot of them.
We do. Yeah. They're all over the world. I think we have 37,000 friends. And I think 500,000, almost half a million every week will have views of our pictures and our
Because who doesn't like looking at cute minis?
That's
you know.
It will make your day.
At miniature horse shows, I have announced some miniature horse shows for both registries. And the most popular class is costume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about inventive and, you know, with the handler and the horse and a matching costume theme. That's... Got cameras going all over the place, too. Very popular class.
And we got started with the costumes. There was a little girl. This was right at the Florida-Georgia line. She was suffering with a disease and was not going to reach her 5th birthday. And so we were asked if we could do a tea party for this little girl where she could invite her friends, her cousins, her family, essentially to her last party. And so they said they wanted to do a tea party. Everyone's going to dress up with their little Cinderella costumes and wings and things like that. And so we said, well, we think we can have Magic dressed up as well. So she wore a little tuxedo with a pink bow tie. And,
I think I've seen that picture, actually.
Yeah, and that's really how we got started. The little girl responded so well, and all their friends, they spent time with Magic. They took pictures, and it was a significant time.
Well, where can people find out more about Magic and what you do?
Yeah, you can come to our website. It's horse-therapy.org. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/horsetherapy, or if you type in gentle carousel.
It comes up, yeah. Therapy horse?
Therapy horse. Therapy okay. horse, yeah.
And just type in gentle carousel.
Gentle carousel on Facebook, yeah. and it pops up.
Yeah. This has been terrific. I'm so, so glad to finally meet you guys, and I'm so glad that you made the trip over here. I know you need a couple days off. You just got back. So
yeah. Well, thank you, Glenn,
and
thank you,
Wayne. Let's give Magic a couple days off, and give Magic a carrot for us, okay?
We will. Thank you so much.
All right.
Magic, thank you. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Yeah. All right.
Good job, Magic.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Magic, Magic, you do make the worst guest, though. You're the kind of guest that never says anything. Well, makes us do all the work.
No, Magic did well. She got turned around.
Yeah, she did turn her butt away.
So that we had a better camera
See, I'm
angle.
A driver, yeah. so I'm used to seeing that side. Yeah. You know, that's the only end we ever
but
see.
But in a confirmation class, that rump is important.
That's true. Yeah. That's right. true. Well, thank you so much, George.
It is our pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Well, this has been fun, Wayne. We plain run out of time for today, but we do want to thank our sponsors, Omega Alpha Equine, and yours.
Hoosier Horse Trailers. We want to thank them very much for their support in having Speaking of Horses here. Hoosier Horse Trailers. Available everywhere. Contact them. They're a great company.
And, of course, Gator Trailer Sales.
And Gator Trailer Sales.
Off of Route 27.
Right here in Ocala for hosting. We want to thank Gator very much for we're sitting in their lobby.
Yep.
We kind of rearranged it.
Yeah, we took over.
Thank them very much.
Yeah, yes. We appreciate that. And, you know, it was nice to finally get to do a show with you after
this
all
this was a ball. This was a blast.
It really
after
has
we
been.
Got all our little technical things going, you know, and. We hope that you've enjoyed listening, and I hope that you've enjoyed watching the live streaming so that everybody's happy. And I'll remind everybody one more time, in about 7 days, figure on probably next Monday, this show will be archived on Speaking of Horses, so you can go watch the entire video show. If you're listening now and you didn't get a chance to watch, but you'd like to watch it, you can do that in about a week on speakingofhorses.com.
And when you put that live, we'll post that on our Facebook page, a link to that.
I will send you the link so you will have it for the Horses in the Morning also.
And for your listeners, if you would like to join us here in the Horse Radio Network, listen to any of our shows. You can find it at horseradionetwork.com as all of our shows. We have almost 3,000 episodes now that we have done.
Wow.
We've been doing it a long time. And as I said, we have listeners all over the world. So we'd be glad if you could join us. You can find all of our shows also on iTunes. So you can listen. Most of our people that listen while they're cleaning stalls, riding their horses, driving their car, while they're doing other things. So,
yeah. And speaking of horses, I've got full 30-minute shows that they go to select cable outlets, but just go to the website. Go to SOH TV. There are 30-minute shows there you can watch right now. There's a show showcasing Norco, California. You were there.
Yeah. They both had us out there.
Norco, California. We've got a show from Wellington right down the road here that we did in March. So there's all kinds of stuff to watch.
Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed this live broadcast. We'll be back here on Horses in the Morning on Wednesday. Don't forget, Wednesday is Wheel of Trivia Day, so you can call in, play, and win. Answer one simple or hard trivia question, depending on what mood Jennifer's in that day. And then we'll spin the wheel, and we'll see if you can win anything. We thank Coach Jen for helping out today. She's over there.
Thank you, Jennifer.
She's going to come over and stand in front of the camera because I promised everybody would get to see her at least once. So wave to everybody.
Wave to the camera.
There's Coach Jen.
There's
she
Jennifer.
Does exist. She is my wife, so she is really here. And so thank you, everybody. Have a terrific day. Oops, wrong song. Sorry about that. That was my fault.
Glenn, I want to thank you and Jennifer for your hospitality here, along with Gator and everybody. But you guys have been great hosts as well.
Well, we appreciate you making the trip. Let's play a little Templeton Thompson out. Girls and
you
Horses.
You got it.
You mentioned it.
Girls
Let's
and
play
Horses.
It out.
All right. Thank you.
Well, she talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, still feel like that girl someday.
up. Throw up my hands and say, enough, enough. But that's when I go and sound love and run away till I'm okay, until I'm not afraid of staying in the game. Maybe that's what it is. About them, and I dream about them. I live to love them, and I love to ride. I'll always have them, be lost without them. There's magic in those, and alone. What is it?